In a world of chaos and confusion, there are but two geeks who can clear everything up. Anna and Dave, Geek World, Thursdays at noon on 92.5 KYHY Burbank.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero, superhost, Anime, and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. We are in our second hour of this show.
Yes.
We talked about Annabash and cosplay in general.
The first annual Annabash.
Yes, out here in Rochester, New York, where we are right now. We are not in LA, like usual.
No. One week only.
The country.
For 1 week only. Sunday.
It's actually like more than a week.
Thursday. Well, only 1 week for the show. Yeah.
And it's not always Thursday. It's Thursday, and then repeated on Friday.
Exactly.
So now I think we're going to talk about a new show that that just came on the History Channel.
Yes.
Actually, the first episode just aired last week, and the second episode will be airing tonight.
Yes.
Tonight. Well, that is if you're listening on Thursday. If you're listening on Friday, it aired yesterday.
You missed it.
but it plays again throughout the week.
See, you should have listened to the show on Thursday, huh?
Yeah, right. And then listen to it again on Friday.
And that show is Stan Lee's Superhumans.
Yeah.
Man. Superhumans. Stan Lee Superhumans. Hosted by the most flexible man in the world, Daniel Browning Smith.
Yay.
In the first episode, we meet Kurt Mohan. A man 10 times more resistant to electrical current than the average human. And the human calculator. A man who calculates numbers faster than a real calculator.
Numbers.
And Radar. A blind man who is able to echolocate like a bat. And let's not forget the Strong Man. A man who can bend wrenches and hold Harley motorcycles with his hands while
strong!
They're accelerating. Yeah, this show is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, this is not the first time we've seen a show from Stan Lee. We watched the first season of Who Wants to Be a Superhero,
which was pretty darn fun.
It was a very fun show, yes. And, you know, I mean,
wish Major Victory had won.
Yeah, I mean, it would be silly for us to explain who Stan Lee is. If you don't know, then I don't know why you'd be listening to this show, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, if you don't know, look it up on
your
computer.
I mean, really, Stan Lee.
On your computer device.
Yes. hey, I'll give you a hint. Have you heard of Spider-Man or Hulk? Or Fantastic Four. Yeah. Anyway, this show is actually really cool. You know, it's not exactly the most original thing because, you know, we've grown up with things like the Guinness Book of World Records and Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yes.
But in the format of Stan Lee and of making, you know, people like superheroes, it's a really cool concept. I gotta say, man, I love the History Channel. When I was a kid, all I remember for the History Channel was, like, every show was about World War II or Hitler, which, you know, was also
World War II.
Exactly. But they would, you know.
So apparently it was only World War II.
Pretty
much. The History Channel has nothing but World War II.
That's what it used to be like. That's all it was. But nowadays, like, we got Top Shot that we love.
Man.
This new show is awesome. I mean, do they do the show about the monsters or they try to find
the monsters?
Quest. Yeah. Is that them?
I think that might be them,
Well,
too.
I sure hope so. but the History Channel
like
is really
Discovery
awesome.
Channel.
Yes,
exactly. The point is that learning programs are awesome.
Yes,
we like learning.
Learning is fundamental, kids. But yeah, you know, and we really like this first episode a lot.
Yeah. Now, I think we've seen, like, a documentary kind of thing, like a special once that was sort of like this. But point is that there are a whole lot of freaks out there.
Yeah. But to them, you're a freak like me.
We love the idea that a lot of the superpowers, you know, that people have in comic books are at least partly based on genetic abnormalities that some people actually have. And this kind of tries to explain, you know, why that there are kind of superhumans out there, so to speak, and tries to go on to actually explain what it is about them, what's different about them, and what it is that makes them such freaks.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, we live in a world, unfortunately, when you get bombarded by radiation, you don't exactly turn into the Incredible Hulk or the Spider-Man.
Have you ever been bombarded by gamma rays?
Well, no, not
gamma
rays.
Have you ever been bitten by a radioactive spider?
No, I have not. So
see,
it's
what
possible.
Do you know?
But
have you ever gone up in your spaceship and been hit by, like, weird meteor things
no,
that turned demon?
No, that's true. Yes, cosmic rays. You're talking about Fantastic Four, yeah. Cosmic, yes. Yes,
have you ever had any of that happen? Do you know anyone that's happened
to?
So what do you know?
Well, but fortunately,
you know nothing.
There's two towns in Japan where we were able to see the cause of radiation. So unfortunately, we know that radiation is
although
not
gamma.
That's true, not gamma radiation.
Gamma Stanley radiation doesn't really do much.
No,
I don't think.
Really do Stanley didn't really know about it. He just thought it sounded cool.
Yeah.
It's
like gamma radiation. You might as well just be standing in front of your TV.
But what one of the things I really like about this show is I like that the actual host, is not Stan Lee. You know, no. They had a little intro with Stan Lee and the host. But I like that the host
Stanley comes back to comment on things. Yes, like they have exactly. Little things for him commenting on these people.
Yeah. Well, he's the expert. Yeah. You know? Well, it's like it's like the Donald. Wasn't always around in The Apprentice, right?
How did he
turn into the Donald? Isn't that the weirdest thing ever? Let's not talk about that. That's lame.
Please not talk about that.
I don't know why I brought that up. Why did I compare Donald Trump? Yeah. I'm not going to say cut, but I wish I could. Mentally, in my head, I'm thinking cut because that was terrible, wasn't it? Can you believe that? Can you believe it?
Let's get back to superhumans.
Yeah, but
stop
I like the
sucking.
Fact. I'll try, but it's hard. Maybe that's my superpower. I have the power of suck. It's very possible. Wait a second.
Probably.
Think about it.
That's gotta be it.
I should have lobbed that one to you.
I know, right?
It's like, apparently I do have the power of suck. So, I like the fact that the host is a freak himself.
Yes, he's the most bendy man in the world.
They didn't find a guy who's like, part of a reality TV show or some sort of sort
that's
of
what they did
celebrity.
For, that's what they did for Top Shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Though I gotta say, Colby is one of the, is probably the most likable person who was ever on Survivor there.
He actually does a really good job hosting. They made a really good choice, and at least Survivor is one of those things where they have to hunt for things and forage sometimes.
Yeah.
So at least he validly seems a guy that might shoot guns and be
there's a reason
cool.
Every time they do any sort of all-star, he's on it. I mean, he's probably, I would assume
he's all cool and handsome and stuff.
I mean, I have no idea, so this statement is completely false, but I assume he's probably been on Survivor more than anyone else, or at least probably close to it. I mean, he's practically in all of
those. Was he on
all-stars.
One of the first seasons?
He was in the second season or the
third
season. Yeah.
I never actually watched that show.
Yeah,
I never got into it.
I watched the first two seasons, and it's a great show, I suppose. But I say for reality shows, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Anyway, but let's talk about superhumans. I think one of the really cool things about it is the first guy they went to was Current Mohan, and this is a guy in India who can pretty much run a whole lot of electrical current through him.
Yeah, he's just. He's a genetic freak who, when I mean freak in the most awesome way possible, in comic book land, freak is awesome.
Yeah, we're going to use terms like freak because they are freaks. That's the point, but
it's not the best possible way. It's not freak in the old, freak show way where you, point to go, ooh, you're a freak,
ooh,
and then laugh
at
you.
Lady. Yeah,
yeah no, this
lady.
Is like, this is like freak where it's like...
Well, Spider-Man. Like,
freak out!
No. That's not at all. It's like a disco. This is not a disco.
Fine.
This is a geek world.
Geek World Disco.
Yeah, no, let's not do that. Well, it was almost it could have been a disco at the Anabash.
Almost
however, it was not. It almost was. It's probably, well, there was dancing going on. Yes,
heard the most awesome version of a Depeche Mode song.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. I know. I was like, this song's awesome. And then I heard Depeche Mode. I was like, oh, well, okay, it's still awesome. this guy was wild. You know, the thing is, you watch these shows and you go. Is this a con? Like, really? How does this person do this?
The trick?
Yeah, it's like, they put people to death through electric chairs.
Yeah.
So how can this guy run all this current through him? And he had a really cool story, too, how he was like a little kid and his mom died and basically tried to commit suicide.
Yeah, he decided the best thing that he could do is to kill himself, and so he decided to jump on a transformer.
Yeah.
Not like the robots.
Yes,
but
no. He jumped on Optimus Prime, and he was
Sam.
Yeah,
he's actually
Sam.
Before they called him Current, his name was Sam.
Yeah,
and,
after he defeated the Decepticons, he said, hey, maybe I can run electric current through me. And they started off, they pretty much went through the rounds to make sure that he wasn't faking it, to make sure there wasn't.
Oh, yeah, the end
of
the story is obviously he jumped in the Transformer
and
nothing
lived.
Happened.
Yeah, well, he wouldn't be on the show if he died, would he?
But it wasn't that, he got, blasted off, and from that point on, he could, take electric current. Like, he jumped on and nothing happened, and it's I guess, my gods or whatever, or my god wants me to do this.
On this week's show, we go to the gravestone of a dead little boy and run current through it. Yeah, he lived. I know. You guess that.
No. Yeah. What I'm saying is that, like, if there was no shot, there was no. Yeah, exactly.
A terrible storyteller. And then he jumped onto a transformer, and then blah, 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 about some other stuff that has nothing to do with it. Yeah, you're right.
Well, okay. We talked about Transformers.
Yeah, that's true. Transformers are kind of awesome. Anyway, it was just really cool. And by the end, he was, like, running all this current through him. He had, like, 10 amps going through him, and he was getting a hot plate on his hand.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
It was wild. They were making an omelet.
Yeah.
And I wish Stan Lee was there to eat that omelet. But they didn't show anyone eat the omelet. Don't you feel like if you made that omelet, like, they would show someone at the end eating it? That seems like a very reality TV thing to do.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, but really, who wants to?
They couldn't take time to have him eat the omelet.
That's true.
Because if they did, they had to move. Yeah, exactly. They had a whole bunch of guys to get through.
Well, the next guy was a calculator dude, a human calculator, which is pretty freaking amazing.
Now, you know, there's like the Rain Man type people. Like, yes. there's some autistic people who are autistic who, like, that's kind of the way their brain functions in that kind of calculator, you know, way. But this guy, he wasn't autistic. He was very well spoken, communicated could communicate well. There was nothing that seemed abnormal about him, just that he was a kind of math freak.
You didn't seem like a savant at all.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was, but like not like
yeah, but he was, but like you said, he could walk around and talk to people. He wasn't like introverted. He didn't have like, you know, problems.
Yes.
And it was really cool because, you know, he would go around to schools and basically, you know, kids would give him, you know, numbers to divide or to multiply, and he could do it faster than a calculator.
He could do it faster than they could even plug it into a calculator.
And then he went to a college in San Diego and did the same thing.
They took him, but it wasn't just they put him up against some mathematicians, like mathematicians with calculators and computers.
Yeah. And it was awesome. It was like an anime because the more he did it, like the more numbers they're giving him, the faster he was getting. It was crazy.
And those kids, like when he was doing it, they were all like, okay, whatever, you know, this isn't going to be a problem. And they were all like, so they were ready to take on the challenge, you know, and they failed.
And I gotta say, I understand, you know, like it's TV, so that, you know, there's always get like the best looking people, but there were some freaking hot mathematician chicks in that class.
I know, right? Well, it's San Diego.
It's awesome. But still, like, how great is that?
It's like they were at Comic-Con.
Well, it's so funny. It's like, you know, when I was a kid, you know, you would see the really hot chick that they cast as, like, you know, a physicist or a mathematician. You're like, oh, yeah, right. And then as you get older, you realize this does occur. Like,
yeah, it's like there really are Amita from Numbers.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we know a girl who's, like, basically a JPL rocket scientist who's very attractive.
Yeah, it's a very attractive blonde girl.
Remember we watched that show Eliminate once, and there was actual rocket scientist?
Yeah, that
really
was
cute.
Funny.
And the guy was like, hey, what do you do? She's like, a rocket scientist. He's like, yeah, right. No, what do you actually do?
I'm
a rocket scientist. Yeah. Anyway.
Are you a rocket scientist? Yeah.
But one of the things really cool about this show is it's not, you know, like, oh, it's just all mystical and magic and that's it. You know, they try to figure out what the deal is.
Yeah,
like,
and they
why
do,
these people are special.
And they don't, like, they don't just do the one test to be like, ooh, look at you, freak. They do all the, they show you the control tests.
Ooh, look at you, freak. Yes, good thing they don't do that. Yeah.
It'd be funny if they did.
That would be kind of awesome. Yeah, that could be, I would
that's
watch
gonna
it.
That's going to be our show. Yes, our show exactly. is going to be, hey, look at you, freak. That's called.
Yeah. It's gonna be, hey, look at you, freak. We go, hey, look at you, freak. Okay. Anyway, and basically, you know, they try to figure out scientific reasons. So they're giving him kind of a cool MRI type thing and giving him calculations.
It may have in fact been an MRI.
Yes, I believe it. Well, it was like a new type of MRI. And it's like a, or like, didn't they say it was like something
new
like,
MRI?
Yeah. MRI 2. It was a sequel to the MRI. And you know, they found that.
Is that like New Coke?
Yeah. Yes, it is much like New Coke. Yes. Or Coke Zero of some sort. I don't know. Anyway, what was really cool though is, you know, all the experts, they always have their own ideas, their own, like, you know, hypothesis as to what this could be, what causes it. And it's always cool, you know, A, when they're wrong.
Yeah.
But B, it's always cool to
way
find out.
Way to be wrong,
yeah,
expert.
Yeah. Well, it's always cool because they come up with what science
logically
has taught them and what logic has taught them would be the truth. And it's so great when, you know, the truth is, like, more outstanding than that.
Mm-hmm.
And they found out that this guy was, like, you know, it wasn't that the mass center of his brain was bigger. It was that he did math in the place of the brain that causes, like, quick, like,
eye
motor
motions
skills.
And
like,
stuff.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The doctor who was performing the test, he figured that what would happen is that, like, he would be using more of his brain and using it more to do this, and just, like, that more of it would be active. And in fact, the guy had less parts of his brain active than a normal person would. And And it was a slightly higher part on the brain. Yeah, the part that controls the really quick eye movements and stuff like that. And so it was just really fascinating. And it was kind of shocking to the doctor and shocking everyone else. And like, and it was really cool for this guy also, because he had always wondered, you know, what it was that made him special. What was it about him that was different?
Yes.
And now, you know, now he has somewhat of an answer. And
yes,
it's just like, you know, how did it happen? Well, that's, you know, who knows? It could have been that something he was born with could have happened when he was born, or it could have just been some way that his mind developed, or it could be something genetic that maybe, you know, one of his parents had and didn't know about.
So. I think it was toxic waste. I think he was dunked in a vat of toxic waste, most likely.
I think he drank toxic waste.
Yeah, probably. I mean, what else would you do? I mean, how else could he be so outstanding?
If he was dunked in a vat, then he would have been, a mutant ninja.
That's true.
Duh.
No, wait. I mean, oh, yeah, okay, fine. Okay, sounds good. Well, at least a toxic Avenger, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's
true.
Kind
of sweet. Okay, so that guy was cool. Then they had a guy who was sort of like Daredevil in a way.
Yeah.
He wasn't a lawyer.
No.
There wasn't a girl named Elektra.
And he didn't wear a tight
and he didn't
red
wear,
uniform.
No, unfortunately, yes. I guess that's probably a good thing now I think about it. Yeah. Yes. But, you know, what was really cool, though, was that he could basically see by, what is it, echo?
Echolocation.
Yes.
Now, echolocation, this guy isn't quite as much of a freak, so to speak, because... Freak, still to speak, because this is actually.
We're probably getting in trouble for saying freak over and over again. We should come up with a better word.
Well, that's why
super freak.
Super freak.
Yeah,
that should be the theme song.
Yeah,
for that.
Yeah, guys, get going. Get on the horn. Change the title music real quick. Okay.
Okay. So he's not as much of a superhuman as other people, because echolocation is actually a technique that they're starting to teach to certain, you know, to certain people that are born blind.
Yeah.
Because it's, that's what it is. It's a technique. And it works kind of the same way that certain bats use their sonar, where they bounce this kind of clicking sound that they make, you know, that you'd make with your tongue, kind of a, you know, and that sound bounces off of objects around and vibrates back. And so, so they can kind of sense where things are around them. And he's kind of been doing this since he was young, and so he's very adept at doing it. They actually took him around essentially an obstacle course on his bike. I mean, it started off where the guy rides up on his bike. It's like, whoa.
And I guess so, even though you know he has his power, like, there's nothing more kind of like than like seeing a blind guy ride a bike. You just don't know what's gonna happen, you know? He was so cool, and it was
just so perfect. Oh my god.
And, you know, and some of the stuff was like uncanny.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, really, he was able to sense, you know,
the
there
uncanny
was a
echolocator.
It wasn't just that someone was in front of him. It's like, oh, there's a trash can and there's, you know, a phone booth. And
yeah,
it was just wild, like, the amount of, how specific it could be.
Yeah, because he's been doing it so long, he really understood what certain textures sound like, you know, what it sounds like bouncing off of a metal, and how big that metal is, because, you know, you know how high it is where it ends. And so, yeah, so he would know, oh, I'm standing between two things, and one's a phone booth and one is a trash can. You know, and it's like they walked him down, like, you know, the promenade in Santa Monica, and he was just able to identify all these different things and without any sort of problem.
It was crazy. Yeah. I mean, the guy is just amazing. I mean, they even took him in a cave.
Yeah.
And in the cave, he could even tell that one side of the cave was bigger than the other side.
And it was crazy because they took him in with a bat expert.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just to see what it would be like. And essentially, you know, minus the, like, you know, rat with wings part, he's essentially a human bat.
Well, that's funny you say that, because, you know, they have their little, like, you know, like almost like a splash page with a graphic that says, like, radar, you know, for him, like his name and that he's radar, you know? And all I could think of is
sonar.
Like, no, they called him Radar.
Oh.
That was the name they said, yeah. And what was really funny is all I could think of is, like, they totally wanted to call him Batman, but they totally couldn't do that.
They couldn't even call him Man-Bat.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wait, is that possible? No, yeah. Because Man-Bat's also a character.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Could have called him, like, Batty Dude.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Bat Dude has not been used yet, so they could have used that, definitely. And
Rat with Wings guy.
And they basically, at the end, they had him go through a, you know, they put him to the test, you know, and they made him, like, you know, ride his bike through one of those parking structures.
Uh-huh, with,
you know,
like, cars set up, like, to block his way.
And he had to go, like, in between, and it was crazy, so it was really great. And the last guy was, like, awesome. I mean, it was totally amazing. He was a guy who well, considers himself a ye oldie strong man.
Yeah.
And basically, you know, he... I mean, this guy's 165 pounds, 5'6", like very, very average, very average. But homeboy can bend hammers, frying pans.
Well, it's funny because the first thing that he did was he ripped a phone book in half. Now we watch Mythbusters and we saw how you can do this as a trick, how you can rip a phone book in half as a trick. And essentially what you do is you space out pages so that you're essentially ripping one page at a time instead of an entire thing. Well, first off, that's not what this guy does.
No, he just picked it up and ripped the whole thing down.
Yeah. But beyond that, like, that wasn't where it stopped. It wasn't that they stopped there. He was bending frying pans. He was bending wrenches. Things that are their entire purpose is not to bend. He was bending things that take, like, you know, 500 pounds of pressure to even start to bend.
Yeah, they and it's funny too, because it's not like he's bringing his own stuff. He's some sort of, you know, like a shyster or something. Like, you know, he went to a certain place and they gave him the tools and he was bending them up. And they took, like, basically the same wrench that he had just bent, and they were doing a test to see how much, like, weight it could take. And they had to stop around, I believe, like, what, 600 pounds, because it was about to be
dangerous.
And so basically, you know, this guy, what they found out, which was really amazing, is basically he's just able to access more muscle fibers than your average person.
And he does it in short bursts, but, like, you know, he can, it's not like a short burst here and then 5 minutes later another short burst. It's short burst, short burst, short burst, short burst, like one right after another. And so he's able to do this, like, with all of, you know, to just keep on doing the bend, you know, bend, bend, and bend, and bend until it's all the way bent.
Yeah.
And it was so cool. And then he held a freaking a motorcycle back. Yeah, it's oh my God.
And by, you know, with him holding that motorcycle back at like 100 horsepower, I think he was basically holding back a ton of force.
Mm-hmm.
And not by like, oh, that's a ton of force, like a ton.
Yeah.
Like the actual metric weight of a ton of force. And it's just crazy. And, you know, I think the show really has... I think it's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think it's really
fun. I'm excited
fun.
For the next episode, the preview for that, where, like, you know, it's a guy who can, like, essentially punch with the force of a car crash.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, yeah. The next guy's, like, Killer Punch or whatever. It should be on, like, Thursday, right?
Killer Punch!
Yeah, the guy, basically they had in the preview that, you know, the guy punched a dummy and they said, you know, it did more damage than someone getting hit by a car going 30 miles per hour.
Something like that,
It's crazy. And yeah, and I just think, you know, one, it's always awesome to have Stan Lee attached to anything because he's Stan Lee. You know, he's one of those guys that every time he's, like, at a convention, if we can hear him talk, you know, it doesn't matter if you've heard the stories again. The guy's so excited. He makes, you know, he makes young people like us jealous because he has more energy than we do.
Yeah.
I don't know what, the guy is just, he is forever a kid.
Yeah, and
totally,
he gets
fantastic.
To be, and that's why his life is awesome, and we would like his life also.
Yes, we will take you. Wait, wait a second, I shouldn't say that. But, you know, Stan Lee is just fantastic, and the show itself is great. So I would definitely recommend
We would like
that.
To be Stan Lee's protégés.
Yes, Stan Lee, if you need sidekicks...
We will be them.
Yes, no problem.
Of course, I'm sure every fanboy has always ever asked to do that.
Yes, exactly.
But we're better.
Yes.
We're cooler.
Yeah. We have a radio show and everything.
Yeah.
You know, I think...
love us.
Please. Love us, adopt us. Do you need radio show hosts? You're like, I needed one of those.
We'll be part of your collection. You can keep us in a closet. We'll be okay.
Yeah. And I love the fact, like we said, you know, they go for the scientific explanation.
Yes.
It's not just like these people can do it. And and I like when they actually can figure something out. Because there's also a lot of shows, too, where, you know, they can actually get an explanation. It's
or they
figure it has something to do with this or that, but they can't prove anything.
Or they show you the experiment, but they don't show you ever doing, they don't ever actually do, like, a control experiment to see what it's against.
Yeah.
You know, to see, like, what it's different than. It's like, oh, yeah, that's what I was saying before. You know, hey, you, freak.
And I gotta say, I really liked the host. It was a little weird for me at first, seeing this weird, flexible guy, you know, and he's very different.
But
you know,
he bends over backwards for those guys.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you're saying, you know, he's almost sort of dorky, like Peter Parker.
Well, it's funny,
guy.
When you hear his voice at first, it's a little high-pitched. He sounds like a Peter Parker kind of dork, you know? But he's just... He's so friendly, and he seems to really be interested in this stuff because it's something that he himself grew up with.
Totally.
Like, growing up knowing that he's kind of weird. No one else can do the stuff that he can do, and why can he do it? And knows that there are other people out there in the world that also, you know, have strange abilities that most other people can't do.
Yeah.
The other thing I like about this show is it shows that, like, you know, sure, everyone can't do everything, but it's possible for anyone like anyone has the possibility that they could potentially do anything.
So. I agree. Yeah, and we can all be special. We can all be snowflakes.
We are snowflakes.
So, so just you know, hoorah! History Channel, totally
hoorah,
awesome.
Stanley.
And we gotta finish. We gotta have to finish some Top Shot too, because man, I love that
man,
show
that
so
show's
much.
So, good.
So cool. So cool. If
I love you, Cable.
Yes, yes. If you like weapons, you'll love Top Shot.
Even if you don't love weapons, you'll love Top Shot.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
just
so
cool.
Yeah.
And it also has all those aspects of a reality show that just add to the funniness with
exactly.
all like the characters, essentially.
Oh, it's totally cool. And I also have to say, too...
Like the characters of Douchebag.
Yeah.
And Nice Guy.
Yes,
and
yes.
And Child. And...
Yeah, pretty much, pretty much. You know, I have to say, too, this isn't very geeky, but we got to watch the first two episodes of Jersey Shore, which was very, very fun.
I would
very
say,
fun.
Check out our website for the Shorio Brothers.
Yes,
and,
definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, howdy. Those, you know what? It's a guilty pleasure, but, like, I don't even care. And I know a lot of you people are like, you know, it's the sign of the apocalypse and everything, but I've never felt like a better person than watching these people.
I know,
I realize,
yeah.
Wow, no
I am
how
awesome
screwed
and good.
Up I am, it's like, it's nothing to compare to these people. So, you know, it's great, you know, it's like medicine.
They can make us all feel better about ourselves.
Exactly, oh, it's amazing, it's amazing. So do you want to take a break?
Yeah, let's actually take another quick break, and when we come back, we'll have more awesomeness.
Exactly.
Alors c'est David Bell de Banlieue 13 sur Geek World.
We're back. You're listening to Geek World on 92.5 KYHY. We are your superhero superhosts, Anime and Dave, bringing you the best in the world of geek. Don't forget, if you want to get in touch with us, you can send us an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com. Check out our website at geekworldradio.com and follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/geekworldradio. So we've been talking about the Anabash in Rochester that we went to. We've talked about some shows. We talked about Superhuman, Stan Lee's Superhuman.
Yes.
We've talked about a lot of stuff so far. We talked about just cosplay in general.
Yes.
But we've got something very special right now.
Very, very special. I would call this an exclusive.
Exclusive.
Now, I'd have to say, you know, I believe, like many anime, that the children are our future. And,
teach them well.
And let them lead the way, really.
I know, right?
I mean, I don't think anyone's ever said that, actually. We should write that down. We should trademark that. Anyway, I think, you know, I just got a new nephew. His name's Max.
Mm-hmm.
He's only 4 months old. And I think that we decided that, hey, let's take the opportunity to interview him because no one's interviewed him yet. And so I think, you know, you got to seize the day.
This interview will be to the max.
Yes, definitely.
So
in the words of the catcher from iShield 21, max dedication.
I say max power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, let's just get right to it right now.
It.
Here is our interview, the very first, the exclusive interview with Max.
Okay, well, thank you very much for being here, Max. And our first question is, who's the better captain, Kirk or Picard? I totally agree. It's definitely Picard.
Dave, I'm pretty sure I heard him say Kirk.
Well, you know, anime, the audience just heard him, so clearly.
Well, I guess they'll have to make that decision for themselves, but fairly certain he said Kirk.
I mean, he just said Picard. Listen, you know what? You can download the podcast and hear it again, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Well, next question. I notice you're wearing a Green Lantern onesie. Are you excited about the upcoming movie? Great. Now that you've been born, you can weigh in on the 3D conversion debate. Would you pay a premium for a movie converted into 3D? Yeah, we wouldn't either.
Yeah, we're just not into that.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it, right? You know?
Yeah, totally.
I'm so glad you're so smart, Max.
Definitely. I mean, and to be so well-informed at such a young age, you know? Yeah. It's amazing. It must be the internet.
I know. Well, you know, he's going to enjoy all those Pixar movies in 3D because, like, well, that's what they're made for.
Definitely. And the
DreamWorks
movies.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay, next question. Did you like Iron Man 2? Yeah, that's what a lot of people think. But was there anything you liked about it? Ah, was it Scarlett Johansson? I think we know why.
Yeah.
Okay. How do you feel about Joss Whedon directing the Avengers?
I totally agree.
Definitely, definitely. Good call, buddy. Good call.
Really good call. We're going to have to make you watch Buffy at some point.
Yes, yes. And Angel.
Yeah.
And when you're old enough, Firefly.
Uh-huh. And maybe Dollhouse.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
But definitely the Avengers.
Definitely the Avengers. And Dr. Horrible.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. Okay, so, this is kind of a more serious question. Do you think Mel Gibson can resurrect his career? I'd have to agree with you on that one, too.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. It's not going to happen, Mel.
Ooh.
Lastly, we're in a youth-obsessed culture, and you don't get more youth than you. What do you think of the Twilight phenomenon? Okay, well, thank you. Thank you, Max.
I think at that we ought to just cut this interview right there. It was great to have you on the show, Max.
Yes, and we'll definitely be talking to you again.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. Wow, that was a great interview, huh?
I know. What a well-informed kid.
Man, he is so smart. Clearly, he's related to me.
I know.
Clearly. Fantastic. Thanks again, Max. That was just great.
He's going to be an even bigger talker when he's bigger.
Definitely. I mean, so eloquent. I mean, loquacious. Yeah. I mean, I can't believe it. It's nuts.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, it's just a standout, really.
Thank you, Max.
Thank you very, very much.
Thank you.
But now we also have something else very special.
A little thing from your youth.
Yes, from my past.
Your childhood.
Yes. When I was a ute, two utes, as they say in my cousin Vinny.
No. There's only one of you. That is what they said.
Yeah.
There's only one of you. You are not two utes. Well, you are one ute.
You were, yeah. Well.
This isn't my list. This is your list.
This is my list. Yes, good call. Okay. Well, when I was a young boy, I also like to make lists like I do now that I'm a man. So I found this while going through my stuff.
Much,
no, not at all. No, not one bit. I find the more I see Max, I'm actually just kind of an overgrown baby.
Yeah,
like a
you
giant,
really are.
Big baby. Yeah, yeah. Which,
he's like a tiny version of you.
Yes, he really is, which is both horrifying and completely awesome all at
I
the
know.
Same time. But anyway, I was going through my stuff and I found a journal I wrote when I was 12 years old.
Ooh.
And I thought that the audience might like to hear... pretty much this might be the first list I made that had to do with comic books.
Wow.
And when you hear this, what the topic is, you'll probably be, I would say not surprised. So here you go. I'm just going to start reading. And remember, I was 12. I also figured out the 10 best Marvel babes. And here they are.
Woo!
Number one, Psylocke. I'd have to agree with that one.
So you didn't do like a top 10 list, like from like bottom to top.
No,
you did like first is first.
I should probably do that then, huh? Let's go back. And so I'm just gonna read it. I also figured out the 10 best Marvel babes, and here they are. Number 10, Domino.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about Domino.
You know, I can't remember much about Domino, to be perfectly honest. I believe she was part of X-Factor.
Ah.
Yes, yes. She was very cool. She was she was sort of looked like a domino. She was kind of, she had like, she was like black and white. She had like these weird, like, pieces or something like that. Yeah, she's pretty cool. Clearly. Well, I was, I'm an artist, so clearly, you know, very cool. Next is Boom Boom. Number nine.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Boom Boom. I don't know.
Apparently, you did it 12.
Maybe I just like the sound of Boom Boom. I can't remember. Number eight, Black Cat.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if it's going to be up yet, but there was a very awesome guy at Comic-Con who had all these tattoos, and one of them was Black Cat.
Yes.
And it was very, very excellent. Number seven, Luck in Death's Head 2. Yeah. I don't remember. I did come across Death's Head 2 as I was going through my comic book collection.
Okay.
But I do not remember her. So far, I really don't remember much of these girls other than kind of Domino, but definitely Black Cat. Okay. Number six. Everyone knows this one. Jean Grey.
Nice.
And I gotta say, this is pre-Famke Janssen.
Yeah.
So this was back when it was, of course, Jim Lee, once again, who was drawing her. And yeah, totally, totally hot.
You know, Jim Lee had a, you know, just had a way of drawing babes.
Yes,
you know?
Totally.
It's, pretty much anyone he drew was like,
I'm trying to think. Was she? I think she might have been a redhead back then, too, when he
I
drew
think
her.
So.
Yes. Very, very, very cool. And like we said, redheads are in.
And they apparently were then,
yes,
too.
Yes, they definitely were. Okay, next, number five. The White Queen.
Nice.
Yes.
Very
a little
nice.
Emma Frost action, huh?
So you were really into Marvel, weren't you?
I was
you?
Very
you were a
into
Marvel,
Marvel
guy.
I was all the way into Marvel. I didn't really get into DC until much later, to be perfectly honest. Yes. Number four, Polaris. Now, I believe she was also a part of the X-Men, part
okay.
of the mutant. But I really don't remember much about her, to be perfectly honest. By the way, it is to note that this is out of my Star Trek The Next Generation Data's logbook.
That's awesome.
Yes.
You know, we met someone from Star Trek The Next Generation.
Yes, we did. Mr. Will
Wheaton.
Totally
video
cool.
up on the site.
Definitely,
yeah.
definitely. Number three, we all know this one, Rogue.
Nice.
Now, I have to say, I was just talking to my, I was talking to my mom the other day. You don't hear that a whole lot, but I was talking to my mom and
we are back in your
yes,
hometown.
Yes, we were talking about True Blood and I was telling her how, you know, I've been in love with Anna Paquin ever since X-Men. And there you go. She played, of course, Rogue.
Yes, she
so,
did.
Rogue was totally, totally awesome.
Though I kind of feel like maybe the comic book at least looked a little different than Anna Paquin, but equally awesome.
You know, I gotta say, not too different.
Really?
She was
just a really good choice then?
Yeah, like, yeah. She was very pretty, brunette, and, I mean, the thing is, you know, Rogue, from what I knew her, was more of an adult.
Hmm.
But yeah, actually, I thought Anna Paquin was actually really, visually, a good choice for Rogue.
That's awesome.
Definitely. Okay, number two, we all know this one, Spidey's Lady, Mary Jane Parker.
Wow, you liked redheads.
I did like redheads very much. Actually, my first girlfriend was a redhead, so there you go. And, of course, redheads are in right now. And
when you were 12, in your
mind.
And
when I was 12, in my head. And in comic books, apparently. this is, of course, before Kirsten Dunst, who I still don't like as Mary Jane Parker.
No.
But, you know, she was a child actress, so, you know, it's just one of those things, you know.
Yeah.
Are you ready for number one?
Yes.
Drum roll, please. That was fantastic. Psylocke.
Oh,
there
righty.
You go.
I think we've got an awesome picture of a Psylocke from one of the conventions.
Yes, I believe from Comic-Con, which means
this
that,
year?
Yes.
Oh, which
means
that
it's not quite up yet.
Might not be online
yes.
yet.
But we will be getting those pictures up, we swear. I just take too many pictures, way too many.
And we've been, well, out of town.
Yes, but I have to say, like we said before, Psylocke was totally fine, especially the way Jim Lee drew her. I mean, granted, she wasn't wearing very much, and that was probably a big part of it, but she had those totally awesome, like, psychic energy blades that she stabbed people in the head with.
Ooh.
It was totally awesome. Yeah, she was totally vicious, totally cool, and mysterious, and exotic.
I think it's so funny how like, you know, it's practically all Marvel, or maybe it is all Marvel.
It actually is all Marvel, yes. Yes,
so,
I'm pretty sure all of it is Marvel,
so
yes.
So technically it's the hottest Marvel babes.
Yeah, yeah, it looks that way. And I look at it, yeah, I mean, at the time, I was pretty much all into Marvel.
Exclusively
yeah.
Marvel.
Yeah, which is funny, though, because, you know, I was into Super Friends first as a little kid.
Yeah.
But when I was little, like, Marvel was really in its boom. It's when Jim Lee was around, and it's with, you know, Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane, all the big guys who basically went on to make Image Comics.
Right.
Okay.
A lot of Jim Lee's too that you can actually like. Seems like you like I'm watching you right now, and you're like you can remember those images.
Yeah, I mean, really, for me, my two favorite comic book artists are Jim Lee and Alex Ross.
Nice.
I mean, you know, I also have to give the older I get, the more I appreciate Jack Kirby and how he was such an innovator. But really, like Jim Lee is where it's at for me.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I have to give a nod to also Todd McFarlane and Frank Miller. I was really into those guys a lot, too.
Yeah.
But
it's funny, because those are, like, so many very different styles that you just, like, listed off the different people.
Yes.
Like, that's really dynamic.
Well, they're all very important in their own way, you
yeah.
know? I was looking at a Todd McFarlane comic the other day, and he made people look like actually like real people in some ways, like they were very round,
right?
You know, very, very round people. I mean, you didn't get a lot of that. You got a lot of straight, like kind of harsh edges, and
yeah.
so you know that was great about him. Jim Lee just made everyone look awesome.
Alex Ross is an artist.
I mean, he's a painter.
Yes. Oh my
yeah,
god!
I mean,
his stuff is just. You can't believe that it's not a photograph.
Yeah, his stuff looks like it should hang in a museum.
Yeah.
You know, Rob Liefeld.
And someday it will.
Yes. Rob Liefeld, a lot of people hated. I thought he was very inspiring to me as a little kid. You know, he had
yeah.
all the, you know, cool big muscles. You know, you look back at it now, a lot of his characters did look a lot the same, but you know what? He invented Deadpool, so that's got to count for something, right?
Yeah.
Also, I have one more list
Ooh.
From when I was 12. Would you like to hear
you
this?
You really like lists.
I do
You've
love lists.
You've always loved
yes.
lists.
I apparently love comic book babes and lists.
Well, so let's hear this one. I think this one you should again go from bottom to top.
Okay, so this one is entitled Top 10 Superheroes. But as we all know, I have you know, I really have a great attention span, as you can tell, because this starts with number 9.
Nice.
Apparently, this is an unfinished list.
Ooh.
Oh, can you imagine? It's crazy. Number 9, Chapel. Do you remember? Do you know who Chapel is?
I have no idea.
Chapel is a character in Spawn.
Oh.
Yes,
I
very
didn't
cool.
read Spawn.
No, Spawn was a good one.
I saw the movie.
Yes, I have the first. I actually have the first 50 Spawns, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, I loved Spawn. Great,
I guess I'll have to read some Spawn, because you've got them.
Yes, great animated series. Not so great live-action film, but hey, you know, Michael J. White,
great star.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Okay, number 8, Archangel.
Okay.
Do you remember him? You know who he
X-Men,
is, right?
Right?
Yes, exactly, yeah. He was once Angel, and then he was turned into one of the Four Horsemen by Apocalypse.
And then, unfortunately, you know, he made his appearance in the third movie.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's not Ben Foster's fault.
No,
that was
not
bad.
At all.
No, that would have to be
Brett
Ratner.
Ratner,
yes,
yeah.
100%. Yeah. But Archangel was sweet, because he was, like, he could, like, throw his, he had wings made out of, like, these metal blades, and he could throw them at people.
Oh, they looked pretty feathery in the movie.
Yeah, well, they were in the movie, because he's Angel, not Archangel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
I gotcha. So they became, like, lady.
Basically, Archangel is turning into a freak. It's actually a really kind of creepy thing.
He wasn't a freak
thing
to begin with?
Well, he was a mutant, so right. He was a freak no matter what. But he went from, like, a blonde-haired white guy with, like, feathery wings to, like, a blue and purple dude with metal wings.
Wow, that's...
Yeah.
Wow, yeah, yeah, freak is right.
It was, like, the worst case of that show, The Swan, ever. Okay. Number 7.
Wow, that was a great reference there.
Thank you. No, and very topical,
yes,
too.
Yes, always.
Number 7, Cable.
Okay.
There you go, Rob Liefeld right there, huh?
I loved in Civil War Cable and Deadpool.
Yes.
That was, like, those were just some of the most geniusly written. They were so funny. The interaction between those two is, oh my god, I love it.
Both created by Rob Liefeld, and really the main reason why a lot of people are okay with him now, though a lot of people were not so okay with him a few years ago.
Yeah, people have, like, kind of lost their right to hate on him at this point.
Well,
and,
you know,
I'm okay with that.
I think unfairly blamed him for sort of the whole collapse of the comic book industry, the actual comic book industry in the 90s, before comic books became big again when movies started coming out like Spider-Man and X-Men. Okay, so next, number 6, Die Hard.
I don't know Die Hard.
Die Hard, as I recall, was an Image comic character, and I'm pretty sure he was a Jim Lee creation, too.
Nice.
Yeah, I have to look back at that, but I'm pretty sure that's what that is. Number 5, Shaft. Who is the man?
I was going to say, I only know
Big
of...
Big Richard Roundtree fan. No, actually, that's not who I'm talking about.
He is kind of a superhero.
Yes,
you
he
know?
Definitely is. Actually, Shaft couldn't be any different. Shaft, first, was not African-American. He was white. And second, he was the leader of a group called Youngbloods, which was...
I've heard of Youngbloods.
Another Rob Liefeld creation. So clearly, I liked him a lot as a kid.
I actually found some Youngbloods cards that you had.
Yeah, and he was an archer.
Nice.
Yeah,
I love bows and arrows.
I know you do. And he was totally the leader of the group.
Rock on.
Yeah. And actually, you know
what's
cool?
Yeah, bow and arrow.
The strong man in that comic book, he was a big dude made out of rock. He looked
like
a rock monster.
Kind of like the Thing.
Yeah, kind of like the Thing,
except like
he was
gray.
Yeah, except he was more, he was gray. Yeah, exactly.
That's what I just said.
Yeah, I know. Well, I agree with you. it was awesome. His name was Bad Rock.
No way.
Yeah, that was his name.
Kind of like Bedrock.
Yeah, isn't that awesome?
It's awesome.
Totally. Okay, number 4. You know this
one.
Wait,
do you have a Bedrock doll by any chance?
I wish I did. I don't have any Youngbloods toys. Yeah, I know.
Oh, that would be so cool. If anyone knows of a Bedrock toy, that would be awesome. I want one.
I was in Image Comics, but I never bought any of the toys. I think I was out of my toy phase at that point. But then I went.
But then you came back to it.
Yeah, and
then you realized, why would I get out of my toy phase?
I'm totally into it now, yeah.
Nice.
is that the $6 million man's boss? Yeah. Anyway,
heck yeah, it is.
number 4, you'll all recognize this one, Cyclops.
Nice.
Now, I gotta say, I still feel like one of the great injustices of movie history is how lame Cyclops came off in the X-Men movies.
Yeah, and it's kind of unfortunate.
And especially by the third one. I mean, come on. He was like, he might as well have been a red shirt in Star Trek.
He might as well have just been crying in a corner in like emo outfit and makeup. and some guy liner James... over his visor.
Exactly. <You know? laughs> His bow sat. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it wasn't James Marsden's fault. I mean, that was...
We love James Marsden. He did the best he could with the way that they wrote Cyclops.
It's just one of those things where, you know, Wolverine was the most popular character at the time, so Wolverine's they focused it all on cool. him. And also, you get Patrick Stewart. You gotta, like, you know, I mean, yeah. Professor X is the man. So, unfortunately, Cyclops kind of took a back seat. Number three, Spider-Man.
Well, of course.
I mean, come on, he's Spider-Man. What can you say about that? Number two, The Punisher. I loved The Punisher. Though Stanley doesn't really consider him a superhero.
Yeah,
I thought he was the best.
Well, he's a vigilante, you know? He's way more vigilante than he is actual, like, standard, typical hero. And,
definitely.
And the way that Stan Lee kind of classifies heroes is they don't kill.
Yes.
You know, they're kind of more pure.
Definitely. You know, I just thought... What I loved about The Punisher, I think I liked guns. You know, growing up in the 80s, you got, you know, Arnold, and you got Sly, and you got, you know, Bruce Willis. Oh, it's the cast of The Expendables. but that's what it was all about. You know, the big action movies, and we were a little kid, yeah. You know, and so, you know, The Punisher was totally awesome.
And he was so different from others because of how, well, vigilante he was.
Exactly. And I believe, I don't know if I had seen the actual movie, The Punisher, yet, with
right.
Dolph Lundgren in it, which, by the way, actually...
holds up way better than the other ones that were made recently.
It's funny because, yeah, when you look at the other ones, you're like, you know, the Dolph Lundgren one isn't bad. You know, I believe my biggest problem when I was a kid with the Dolph Lundgren one was the fact that he didn't have a skull on his shirt.
Yeah.
You know, because they were going for gritty realism in that movie.
Of course, then the next one that was made, it was a guy with a Punisher t-shirt.
Yes, exactly. That guy would be Thomas Jane.
Yeah. I just like to say
yes,
a guy with
the
Punisher
guy,
t-shirt.
Yes. We talked about how we kept on seeing Thomas Jane at Comic-Con, right? Just running around. Like,
I don't even know if we really talked
oh,
about
my
that.
God. Thomas
but we
Jane
did.
Was everywhere.
And he was awesome because he's totally a fan.
He
was, like, loving it and taking pictures and...
Thomas. Yeah,
Jane.
Like I walked by him and you know
he
you
hung
tell,
out.
Yeah. Oh snap, that was good. And you could tell, you know, you could tell it was him. You know, he had a little hat on, but yeah, I remember he saw like.
Well, he wasn't incognito like Nathan Fillion.
No, he was not in a sombrero and shades and overalls. Yeah, he
that was a couple of years ago,
yes.
But awesome.
You know, I think he saw like the Tron cycle or something. Was like sweet, and he ran over and took a picture of it. So yeah, but he was everywhere. You didn't have to play a game of Where Waldo with Thomas Jane at Comic-Con.
Where Waldo?
Where Waldo at? Yeah, sorry, I'm a little tired, you know. I've been going
it's been
through
an
all
exhausting
my stuff.
Vacation.
Yes.
Not really vacation, is it?
And we had a big interview, you know, with Max there, and that took a lot out of
that
me.
That really
you know?
Is exclusive.
And the conversation was like crazy, right?
I know.
It's like I've never been that focused before in my entire life.
Whew.
And he really like, you know, his answers were so complex. You know, I just had to like really think about them for a little bit.
Yeah,
it's amazing, really. And are you ready for number one?
I'm ready.
The top 10 superheroes, Gambit.
Okay, well, you know, I gotta say, I didn't really read many of the older X-Men ones, so I don't know what he was like in the comics. I know that in the Wolverine movie, well, I like Taylor Kitsch and all, but
yeah,
Remy LeBeau, not so
Gambit's,
not so great.
Gambit hasn't really been given a fair shake yet. You know, there was a time when there were rumors that what's his name Sawyer over there from Lost was possibly going to play him, but yeah, of course they have Taylor Kitsch, which, like you said, you know, we didn't mind him in Friday Night Lights. He's not, you know, he's not bad, and he sort of looked like him, but the problem was, you know. He just wasn't really Gambit, you know.
Yeah.
He wasn't the Gambit we knew.
Well, it also wasn't really written like to be the Gambit as I've been told he's like.
And that movie was like the least. Well, nah, I don't know. I mean, it was. I guess it was better than X3 because X3 was just so bad. But maybe they were about the same. I don't know.
A little
either
better.
Way, yeah,
little
it was
better.
A tad better. But the movie wasn't that great to begin with, anyway. But yeah, I mean, man, Gambit was so cool. You know, he had the playing cards that he could, you know, he basically gave like inertia energy to or whatever, and would throw them and they explode. He could make anything explode, and he had a trench coat on. He had cool hair. He was like the best, man.
Did he have like a? You know how, like, Wolverine and Sabretooth are kind of like, you know, they really butt heads? Like, did he have anyone that he especially butt heads with?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I really can't remember that, but I do know that he was an ex-thief, so I think his past would come back sometimes to haunt him. But, you know, I actually have the first appearance of Gambit.
Nice.
I have that comic book somewhere. I have no idea where it is, but I got it.
We'll find it.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, you know,
I got a cry foul on your list.
Why, because they're all Marvel characters?
Yeah. Well,
and Image.
Yeah.
Marvel and Image, yeah.
there's no better, like, at least Batman, yeah. You know, like, I can understand, you know, being a 12-year-old, like, you know, when you were a 12-year-old boy, maybe yeah. the you know, Superman was a little too much of a Boy Scout, but no Batman, really?
Well, you know, when I look back at it, you know what I think it was, is, well, first off,
was,
you know...
Was Batman too oversaturated at
well,
the time?
Well, no, I don't think so. I think first off, you know, it was a list I wrote when I was 12, which was, yeah, I was never planning on putting it on the radio, and didn't have to think of being fair, and didn't have to actually, you know, do a lot of thinking about
it. I'm not even talking fair. Batman's just awesome.
Also, I have to say, I'm pretty sure the reason why all these people are on this list is, you know, all I did when I was a kid was draw all
right.
the time. You know, my dad was an artist, and okay. so that's all I did. So I'm pretty sure all these choices are based on the artists I liked.
I gotcha.
Yeah, if you look back, you know, basically it's like Jim Lee, Rob Liefeld, Todd McFarlane. Like, every character here is attached to a major artist.
So you didn't really get into, like know about, like, Alex Ross until you were older?
Well, Alex Ross wasn't around... I mean, Alex Ross didn't come around until the mid to late 90s.
Oh,
yeah, so when
okay.
I wrote this list when I was a little kid, Alex Ross hadn't shown up yet.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was he busy, like, doing not comic art, like actual art?
I have no idea what Alex Ross is doing. I'm not an Alex Ross freaking historian over
be.
Here. How do I know what
he's
was
awesome.
Doing?
He's awesome.
I don't know.
You sometimes know random things.
He was working
things.
At 7-Eleven. I have no clue what he was doing.
You're the endless
painting,
well of random knowledge.
He was painting other stuff. I have no idea. Yes, I am normally, but today I have no idea what Alex Ross was doing before I was 12. Sorry. I
let's
no
find
clue.
Out.
Yeah. No, yeah, let's definitely do that right now.
If you know what Alex Ross was up to before Dave was 12,
yeah.
send an email to geekworldradio@yahoo.com.
Yeah, go to Wikipedia. Is there anyone else that I would have no idea what they were doing before they became famous that you'd like to ask me about?
Everyone.
Oh, okay, yeah. Well, let's go down the list. Yeah, yeah, Alex Ross was not around when that list came out.
How was I supposed to know that?
Well, you do host a show called Geek World.
I do, but you're the comic guy.
That's true. I'm the comic book guy. That is totally true, totally true. Well, so those are my lists. So wasn't that special? Man, this is just so full of exclusives this half hour.
I know,
it's crazy,
right?
It's crazy. Everyone's
12-year-old
like,
Dave.
Man, ain't it cool? It's like kicking themselves right now. They didn't get this info before us. It's amazing, isn't it?
I like to imagine you as a little 12-year-old.
Oh,
like,
that's kind of terrifying. You don't want to do that.
Well, I've kind of like, I picture you like surrounded by comic books.
Yes.
I just, you know, you're surrounded by comic books and probably... Let's see. Open notebooks full of, like, women with big boobs
yeah.
that you've drawn.
Yeah.
Probably modeled after something Jim Lee drew.
Are you that psychic lady on that show? The one with all the kids? The one who, like, you know, knows best or whatever? Because I swear, you
I don't
you got
have
it.
Any kids, so I'd have to say probably not.
You got it, I
that
swear.
That is probably not me.
It that's practically right. Is there anything else you'd like to, like, wow, you must be drinking the spice because, like, you just, like, you see all time and
a
space
cupcake?
Right now. No, no cupcakes. I believe it would have been probably either Doritos or Mountain Dew.
So not like a Hostess cupcake or a Twinkie or something?
Well, you know, it's possible. When I think about it, yeah, I did like my sweets. Yeah, yeah, that's very possible.
Soda in one hand, a sweet in the other.
Yeah, I would definitely say either Coke or Mountain Dew is
maybe,
there.
Maybe like a cupcake with Doritos on top.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's practically
that seems
it.
Like something
yeah.
you would eat then.
Yeah, yeah, you pretty much got it. Yeah, I was a chubby kid drawing and trying to... draw hot chicks most of the time, so that was pretty much, you know, the story
imagining
of my life.
That you were dating the hot chicks you were drawing.
Yes, yes, and now I'm, you know, now I am dating the hot chicks that I'm drawing, so really it works out perfectly. But
nice.
Yes, but that is it for this half hour, so we should probably take a break.
Okay, well we'll be back with you in just a moment.
What are we going to talk about when we get back, though?
Well, we actually have a bunch of things to talk about. We're going to talk about like some TV show stuff
yeah.
and what else are we going to talk about?
Well,
Dave?
we might talk about the iPad. We might not. It depends. It depends how, you know. Well, the celebrity Max here, you know, he's difficult. You know, he's sort of like, you know, how
he's demanding.
Remember Shannon Doherty, all those crazy rumors of her in the past, you know, the Avian water and stuff. He's like that, you know. He's really like, mom, do this for me, do that, you know. And so, really, we don't know if we'll be able to get her, but
she
either
is
way,
in high demand.
Yes, definitely. Either way, she's the best cook in town for him, too,
that's
really.
True.
I mean, he's like, I only want one cook. There's only one person I want my food from. So, basically, if we don't get to that, though, we'll definitely be talking about Torchwood coming in on Stars. We have a few things to talk about that. And also, I think we should spend a little time talking about True Blood.
I think
so,
it's
been a great
too.
Season so far. It's been amazing so far. And we should talk about what we think is going to happen and what's happened so far and just how freaking awesome it is.
Okay, sounds good. So we'll be back with you in just a moment.